Time now for World Sport from the BBC with me, Michael Williams. Coming up, the Premier League champions Chelsea make an audacious bid to bring this man to Stamford Bridge.
In towards Torres. Torres brings it down. It's 1-0 Liverpool. Torres scores against Chelsea again. 5 goals in 5 matches against Chelsea here at Anfield. Fernando Torres. Liverpool 1, Chelsea 0.
Novak Djokovic waits to discover who he'll face in the final of the Australian Open tennis. And with 3 weeks till the start of the Cricket World Cup, Eden Gardens is dropped as a venue for one of the tournament's biggest fixtures. But we start with football, and Liverpool have confirmed they've rejected a bid from the Premier League champions Chelsea for Fernando Torres. The Spanish striker is currently Liverpool's top scorer this season. The BBC's Richard Connolly has more.
It's unclear at this stage exactly how much Chelsea have offered for Torres, although reports indicate it might be as much as $55 million. It is widely held that Torres has had a disappointing season since winning the World Cup with Spain in July, but his form has improved since the return of Kenny Dalglish as Liverpool manager, and he scored 3 times in the last 5 games. And that fact may make Torres' departure less likely. Liverpool say he is simply not for sale.
The BBC's Richard Connolly, and we'll have more football news later in the bulletin. Next to tennis, and Novak Djokovic is through to the final of the Australian Open, having defeated the reigning champion Roger Federer in straight sets. He'll meet the winner of Friday's second semi-final involving Britain's Andy Murray and David Ferrer of Spain. Murray is in his 5th Grand Slam semi, whilst Ferrer will play his 2nd. The BBC's Alistair Eakin looks ahead to the match.
With Nadal and Federer gone, there's a strange feeling at Melbourne Park. Novak Djokovic will sit with his bucket of popcorn watching his potential opponents wearing themselves out, knowing that he's the lucky one with an extra day to rest up before the final. So, Andy Murray or David Ferrer? They've met 5 times, Ferrer has won 3, but all of those have been on clay, traditionally Murray's worst surface. The British number one has won their 2 hard-court meetings, and having already been to 2 Grand Slam finals, he'll know how to handle the situation. As the number 5 seed, he's the favourite to make it through, and his varied game could prove too much for the Spaniard, who has a more limited game plan. That said, Ferrer will be buoyed by his win over his great friend Rafael Nadal, and the victory in Auckland in the run-up to this event, and he'll run every ball down as if his life depends on it, which basically means that if Murray's not right on top of his game, he'll have trouble.
So, with Federer and Nadal having fallen by the wayside, the British number one may never get a better chance to win a Grand Slam. First, though, he has to overcome David Ferrer, but the former Wimbledon champion Michael Stich believes Murray should be too good for the Spaniard.
Well, I think he is definitely the favourite. I think the way he plays tennis and the way he's performed at the Australian Open so far has just shown that he's very fit, that he's strong, that he's very motivated, and David Ferrer obviously is a prize semi-finalist, but the fact that Andy is the favourite just might just put a little bit of pressure on him. But he has been in that situation before, and he's going to be so eager to go to the finals because this is another big chance for him to win his first major, his first Grand Slam, with Nadal and Federer not being in the finals.
Well, whether it be against Murray or Ferrer, the world number 3 Novak Djokovic will be favourite in Sunday's final. And if he had a choice, Djokovic wouldn't mind facing his old friend Andy Murray.
We played under 12, under 10, under 14, you know, we grew up together through, we basically made a breakthrough to top 100 more or less at the same time. So, I mean, it's nice to see somebody doing well, the person who was your, you know, long time friend. So if I get to meet him in the final, you know, we are both professionals, of course. We haven't played for a very long time, already for maybe a year and a half or two, and it's going to be interesting.
Elsewhere, the lineup for the women's final was determined on Thursday. Li Na saved a match point to upset world number one Caroline Wozniacki to become the first Chinese player to make a Grand Slam singles final. She will play against Kim Clijsters, who beat Vera Zvonareva in straight sets. Clijsters has won 3 US Open titles, but has yet to win the trophy in Melbourne, and she's delighted to have another chance, having last reached the final in 2004.
It's nice to be in another Grand Slam final here. When you're close and you know, having played a few semifinals and one final, I think it's, you kind of just tease with that feeling, you know, of maybe going, you know, the whole way. And I think that's why, because you get so close, it can also be a lot more disappointing if you can't make it. So it's nice to be in that position now where I can actually be there with the last 2 standing and trying to finish on top. And, you know, this is the last match, and just give everything that you have.
Returning to football now on the BBC World Service, and Emmanuel Adebayor says he's determined to make 2011 a better year than 2010. The Togolese striker has been speaking for the first time since moving from Manchester City to Real Madrid on loan. He was released by City after struggling to hold down a regular place in the side and retired from international football last year after the Togo team bus was attacked by gunmen on the way to the Africa Cup of Nations. But Adebayor insists he has a renewed focus and is delighted to have a chance to impress at the Bernabeu.
My dream became true today, to be able again to play football at a high level, and especially playing for Madrid, you know, after Arsenal, when I went to Man City. Don't get me wrong, it's true that I have an up and down. I was nearly dead as well in the Cabida when I was on my way going to the Africa Cup of Nations, and I was a little bit traumatized by all those kind of things, and it was a very difficult moment for me, and today all those kind of things is behind me, and the 2010 start for me very bad, and this 2011 is starting very, very well with my contract, signing contract with Real Madrid. So I just have to praise God, and I'm still alive, and I have a chance to wear this white shirt of Real Madrid. I'm very honored and very, very happy.
Meanwhile, the Mali international midfielder Mahamadou Diarra is set to join the struggling French club Monaco after failing to feature on a regular basis at Real Madrid. The two clubs have agreed on the transfer, but the move is subject to Diarra passing a medical and settling on personal terms. The semi-final lineup for the Italian Cup is now complete after Roma defeated Juventus 2-0 away from home. Roma now face defending champions Inter Milan in the next round, whilst AC Milan will meet Palmeiro in the other two-legged semi-final. And Egypt's league programme has been suspended this weekend due to the anti-government protests taking place across the country. The decision to postpone the fixtures came after a request from the security authorities. With the Cricket World Cup less than a month away, Eden Gardens in Calcutta has been dropped as a venue for the match between India and England on February the 27th. The Board of Control for Cricket in India has been asked by the ICC to consider an alternative venue. The BBC's Rahul Tandon is in Calcutta and explains why this drastic decision has been taken.
The renovations began 18 months ago, and they really just haven't got them done quickly enough in time. I've been down over the last few weeks, and it's just like a construction site. You can't see the pitch most of the time. There's just dust everywhere from all the work that's taking place. They were falling behind schedule with two of the stands in terms of the seats. There were problems with some of the corporate areas, with some of the media facilities as well. And after all the problems of the Commonwealth Games, I think the people of India were really hopeful that this time, coming up to a major sporting event, it was cricket, they had the stadium already, there weren't going to be any problems. But unfortunately, that's turned out not to be the case. An inspection team came down earlier in the week, and they just weren't happy with what they saw. So they said the first match is going to have to be shifted. And I can tell you, in Calcutta this evening, I've been out on the streets, there is real, real anger here. Young kids who've been waiting more than 10 years to see a major World Cup match involving India in their city are absolutely furious. And there's talk of protests, and a lot of people are saying now, we don't want the other matches. No offence to the likes of Ireland playing South Africa or Kenya against Zimbabwe. And people are saying, if we can't have India-England, we're going to protest, and if it doesn't come back, well, forget about it. We'll just forget about the World Cup.
The BBC's Rahul Tandon in Calcutta. Finally to golf, and Tiger Woods made a good start to his 2011 season, firing a 3-under-par 69 in Thursday's opening round at Torrey Pines in California. The former world number one is 5 shots behind the Korean Sung-hoon Kang on 8-under, who shot a 64. He had 6 birdies and an eagle after a disappointing 2010 when he failed to win an event for the first time in 1996. Woods managed to go bogey-free at a venue where he's won 7 times in the past. Before we go, a reminder that Liverpool have confirmed they've rejected a bid from the Premier League champions Chelsea for Fernando Torres, and that Novak Djokovic is through to the final of the Australian Open tennis, where he'll meet the winner of Andy Murray against David Ferrer of Spain. That's the latest world sport.